It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Have you ever heard a person praying who made you aware of the presence of God? If so, you probably had the unsettling sense that you were missing out on something greater. I imagine the disciples experiencing this as Luke records it in Luke 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Picture the scene. Jesus was praying in a certain place. Was he sitting, standing, or kneeling? Was it indoors or outside? Well, we're not told. The disciples were near enough to know when Jesus had finished praying. Were they watching him? Could they overhear his words? What impelled them to ask their question? No doubt, the disciples heard and said many prayers from infancy, and yet they were driven to ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Their question admitted their need. Somehow, they expected an answer that would radically change their understanding and practice of praying. Notice, it was not "teach us how to pray," but "teach us to pray." It was not about methodology or techniques. They wanted to pray like Jesus. Their request was courageous. What would it take for you to ask, "Lord, teach me to pray"? Let's read Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. The preceding scene, at the end of chapter 10 of Luke, is with Martha and Mary, and that flows into this scene with the disciples. In that preceding scene, we are encouraged to displace Martha's practice of busyness with Mary's practice of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. In this scene, Luke 11, we are led to replace our ideas and practices of prayer with our Lord's teaching and practice of prayer. From being too busy to listen to God, to the necessary practice of sitting quietly and listening to Him, and now we move to learning how to pray as Jesus prays. Here's Luke 11, verses 1 to 4 from the New Living Translation. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Jesus begins by addressing the prayer to Father. What does that word Father stir in you? For some, it evokes a healthy sense of love, guidance, protection, and provision. But for others, it may trigger fear and painful memories. It's helpful to understand the term Father as Jesus means it. We shouldn't jettison the image of God as our Father because of poor human examples of fatherhood. Rather, we, by grace, need to shape or reshape our understanding of fatherhood in the image of God as our Father. The qualities of this Father are revealed in Scripture. It's helpful to understand that there are echoes of Deuteronomy 8 in our passage of Luke 11. So, in Deuteronomy 8, we can discern the best attributes of a Father in the Lord our God. First, He disciplines lovingly, Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Second, He provides generously, Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 to 9. "You will lack nothing when you have eaten and are satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you." Third, He protects powerfully. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 14 and 15, "He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock." Four, He trains wisely. Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, "He gave you manna to eat in the desert to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you." A good father disciplines lovingly, provides generously, protects powerfully, trains wisely, amongst other things. we can address God as our Father in the very best sense of fatherhood. Let's move on through the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples. Recall our previous podcast on Clement of Alexandria's description of prayer. He described it as keeping company with God. So prayer is primarily relational. After Father, Jesus then mentions, "Hallowed be your name," or "May your name be kept holy." This concern for his name is about God himself, how he is honored. It is a call to worship. Next, "Your kingdom come." Not only do we anticipate his kingdom in the future, but also present our desire to be living the kingdom here and now through our lives. This is an act of praise. Next, "Give us each day our daily bread." You may wonder why the first request is for food. It is somewhat reminiscent of Israel's wilderness experience and their dependence upon the Lord for their daily provision of manna. In our modern Western society, we have many weeks of food supplies stacked in our pantries. So in our wealth, we lose something of this trusting expectation of God's provision for the basics of daily life. I remember carrying home leftovers from a restaurant one time in Africa. I was approached by two young boys. They recognized what I was carrying and asked for the food. Many in our world live in that 24-hour cycle. There are things I need to learn from that experience. Then Jesus says, "Pray, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." This concept of forgiveness is often misunderstood, but this request is about an unhindered relationship, not only with God, but also with our fellow humans. Joel Green, in his commentary in Luke, writes, "Jesus grounds the disciples' request for divine forgiveness in their own practices of extending forgiveness. Jesus spins human behavior from the cloth of divine behavior. The embodiment of forgiveness in the practices of Jesus' followers is a manifestation and imitation of God's own character." These important life-giving practices are expanded in the series Reclaiming Forgiveness, which can be found under the Resources tab on my website, johnbmacdonald.com. That's John B as in Bravo, MacDonald, MAC.com. Then Jesus asks us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." We are not seeking temptation with all its conflict and difficulties and suffering. On the contrary, again quoting Joel Green, Jesus advises his disciples to ask God for the favor of being excused from further testing. In this way, they recognize and acknowledge their lack of what might pass as heroic faith and their need for divine care. Rather than simply repeating this prayer and these prayer words, let their grace-filled truth transform you. When we compare the wording of this prayer in Luke with the similar or same prayer in Matthew chapter 6, we realize that the words are not identical. That leads me to conclude that we don't need to see this as a prayer that we simply memorize and repeat. It's not a mindless prayer. It's a form of prayer that can and should act as a framework for intelligent and effective praying. In this prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples, and we learn the basic elements of praying to God as our Father, the recognition of our relationship with him as our Father, a calling of our hearts to worship, a yearning for living out the reality of his kingdom here and now, acknowledging our continuous daily dependence upon him for the basics of life, attending to our relationship with God and with other people through the process of biblical forgiveness, seeking his protection from the destructive things that inhabit our world and our lives. In our next post, I plan to continue the rest of our text, Luke chapter 11, with portraits of the provisions and promises of keeping company with God. Until then, I encourage you to think about and savor what Jesus is teaching us and what it means to pray. After all, you may need to make a request that takes courage and say, "Lord, teach me to pray."
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.